Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message.
Verse number 4. Let's read. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel. Well, let's read that again. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel. What do you preach from this? Deborah, wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. This story happened about 1,200 years before the Lord Jesus was born. Deborah happened in a certain context. Israelites were living in the land of promise that God gave them. It's interesting. The jugular veins of the world runs into a small real estate called Israel in what is commonly called Middle East, on the beach of the Mediterranean Sea. And the Bible says Israel went through a huge attack of the Canaanites. The Canaanite local people began to suppress, oppress, depress, and take slaves of Israel. And they cried out to God, and God raised a woman called Deborah. And Deborah was a woman who judged Israel for over 40 years. But please understand, when you talk about leaders in the Bible, this lady was so underprivileged. Came from, I think, the most disadvantaged. I mean, to be a woman in Israel itself was a disadvantage, because Jewish people believed, especially at that time, 3,200 years ago, they believed that a woman is the reason for every curse in the world. On top of that, she is the wife of Lapidoth. Who is Lapidoth? No one knows. That's why that's important. She is a woman of such disadvantage. I mean, if she was from the family of Abraham, or the granddaughter of David, or was the girlfriend of Joshua, he didn't have any girlfriends, but some reference to something classy, you know, gold medalist from the Hebrew University. This is wife of Lapidoth. Anybody by the name of Lapidoth, you are blessed, not this guy. This guy had no reference in the scripture. The Bible doesn't even talk of whose daughter she is, because it's so insignificant. I mean, she was born at the bottom of disadvantage. Talk about somebody born unfortunate. She mastered that class. Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth. But she judged Israel. You can have influence irrespective of your past, present, whatever. God can raise you up. Hallelujah. She was never crowned as the queen. She wasn't a princess. In the language of United Kingdom, May 6th, she was never having a coronation program. She called herself the mother of Israel, being the wife of. Don't forget that throughout the message. This ordinary woman received the grace and the gift of God. See, the meaning of the word influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character development or behavior of someone else. That's influence. That's why music influences people. Ideologies influence people. Movies influence people. That's why you should be careful of what movies you watch. It's best not to watch any. Because I haven't seen someone coming out of Bollywood more Christ-like. I haven't seen any rock musician so well-behaved that you would want to have their picture with Apostle Paul. Influence is more powerful than position. Sometimes people live in a communist country, but their influence is from a democratic country. What influences you has more power on you. She became an influence in Israel as a mother of Israel. Especially there was a war. What happened? There was a commander of Israel called Barak. Barak was a commander. And he came to this lady and said, "What do I do? Does God speak anything?" And she said, "Yes." And she told him to go for a war. And he said to her, "If you come with me, I'll go." And she went to war alongside with him. And they won the war. God gave them great victory. And for the next 40 years, she ruled without a battle. Sometimes God will give you one such victory and you don't need any further victories. You just need to manage from there. You know? So we're going to learn some principles. See, the point number one is this. Please don't forget. Always, people naturally follow others who have more influence than themselves. In my earlier days of preaching, I used to watch the videos of one particular preacher who used to play piano and sing and preach. And sometimes when my mother would scold me, say, "Don't act like that man. You've got your own style. You better behave yourself. Don't talk like that." Because unknowingly I began to, you know, play keyboard and I can't play keyboard like him. I mean, he's very talented, but I could do the actions. And my friends would tell me, "Try to get the pitch, not the action. Try to get the scale, not the action." We all get influenced, don't we? Sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't. See, Deborah learned one thing. Your talents can attract people, but only your character can keep them. I thank God I learned this early in my life. 25 years ago, when I started with church ministry, someone taught me this and said, "I'm thankful to God for them." They said to me, "Hey, Johnson, you've got charisma, you've got anointing, God is using you, you will attract a crowd." And I was so happy to hear that, because those days no one was in the church. You know, church was kept open, but no one would come. I would go around inviting people, and on a Sunday, there would be 5, 7, 10. It was so discouraging. I would give my very best, but it wasn't very exciting. And those days, someone told me, said, "You've got the charisma. You've got God's favor on you. You've got the anointing. Crowds will come, Johnson. Don't worry. You better focus on your character, because your anointing will attract the crowd. Only your character will keep the crowd." And I think this is so true. Our talents are a gift from God. Our influence is a gift from God, but our character is personal choice. Our character, God doesn't give anybody character as a gift. Never, never. Talent is a gift from God. Anointing is a gift from God, but character is what you develop. Character is a choice of how you train and discipline your own habits, your responses to situations, your inward thought processes. These are not God's responsibility. These are our personal responsibility. A better character would have said an amen by now. This is what we develop. Our character is what we develop. Deborah is a classic example of this, because in those days when no woman would have entered a battlefield, women were relegated to just, you know, being the baby machine of the house, doing housework. And at max, if the men of the house allowed, they would go into the field and work. In those days, how did Deborah become a natural leader whom even the leaders of Israel followed. And she didn't lead sitting on a throne, sitting in a palace. No, she led from her kitchen. She led from a tree beside her house. She sat under a tree cutting vegetables. And leaders would come and ask her. And she would answer them, why did Barak, the commander of Israel, go to this lady called Deborah and ask how to conduct the warfare? Why? Aren't there other ladies in Israel who are anointed? I'm sure there are. I'm sure there were people through whom God was speaking. But why did Barak, the commander, go to Deborah, the lady? They're not even related. Because Barak knew one thing. People knew one thing. When you talk to Deborah, it's not only God speaks through her, because there are others through whom God speaks. But when you talk to Deborah, you don't have to worry. It will be kept a military grade secret. She has a character which will not bring you disrespect. Other ladies, if you share for prayer, I leave it to your imagination. So she told Barak, okay, this is how the Lord wants you to lead the country. You're going to defeat the Canaanites. And he said to her, I'm the commander, but I want you in the battlefield. Deborah has no athletic training. She is not a champion in warfare. She's never done a warfare. She is going to wrap her sari or Jewish female dress, whatever it is, and come to the army. Somebody has to look after her. Character. The commander knew, if she is there, I'll have a sense of direction. She knows how to behave herself. It was Napoleon Bonaparte, I think, who said, the world will be afraid not of an army of lions if it's led by a cat, but the world will be afraid of an army of cats if it's led by a lion. Who is in leadership is what matters. What character of yours is leading your whole life? That's what matters. What is your strength? Your weakness is not your struggle. If your strength can be in the right direction, your weakness will have to give up and become respectful of your strength. Focus on your strength. Focus on God's call in your life. You know, if the enemies get to hear a lady is leading Israel, they will dance to the warfare because they know they can defeat. But when the enemies heard Deborah is leading the war, they sank. This lady's leadership skill overtook the limitations of gender even without changing her dress code. She didn't struggle with identity crisis. I like to have the pronoun of whatever. No. So some of you who don't understand these parts of the message, blessed art thou. But for some of us who are miserable enough with having to know what's going on with today's woke culture, may God help us. Deborah, wife of See, the whole point is that she had such a prophetic influence on others, but never will you hear Deborah's children complaining, mom's not at home. You'll never hear Lapidoth saying, don't know what anointing is on her. She's broken the family. You know, ladies, when God anoints you, men, you lost the timing. Boy, leave it. No point. Ladies, when God anoints you, you should never become a complain opportunity. Deborah managed her house so well. Lapidoth never felt insecure. He never felt that she didn't belong to me. No. You can build your character in such a way that all the anointing and grace is a blessing and never a burden. Character. Go for your character. Build your character. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody shout a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Build your character. Because anointing is a gift. That is something God gives freely. But character is a discipline. It's something that you want to develop. She kept her family in peace. Brother, when God anoints you, see, anointing is something people will like, but character is something that people will understand. Pastor, he's so wonderful. He's technically the best pastor. That's why I married him, but now I can't live with him. His money is good, his health is good, his family is good, but his character, yo. In the church, he's like an angel pastor. But at home, he's like a Dracula. When did you know? After marriage, pastor, true color came out. 4 years, 5 years, he chased her. Because her beauty was so enarming. It was so amazing. She was stunning, titillating. He left his job and looked for a job in her company. Didn't mind working as her junior. Finally, after 6 months of marriage, he doesn't want to go home. Because she doesn't have the personality that matches her beauty. Only her skin was good looking. Character is where your influence gets rubbed and the purity of your gold is tested. You see, the thing about Deborah was this. The struggle that Deborah had is this. I mean, if you really look at Deborah's life, she became such an influence, is such an amazing thing because she came from the pits of disadvantage. Moses, when God called Moses, fellow had a rod in his hand, man. That rod, throw it down, it becomes serpent. In fact, Aaron and Miriam would say, Anna, just make sure that rod don't touch the ground. He pick it up, it become a rod again. He touch the river, it becomes red blood. He pick it up again, the river becomes blue water. He lift it up, frogs come. Lift it again. If you got a stick like that, boss, elections are yours. Joshua had such authority, commanded the sun to stand over the valley and the moon not to go down until the war be over. Joshua is the only guy in world history whose day had the 25th hour. Deborah, nothing. No miracles, no stick in her hand, nothing. And to top it was the wife of boy. I am complaining, she didn't. See, that's the beauty of it. And Israel had developed this habit. When they came into the promised land, they don't want anyone. Joshua came and divided the land for them and they settled down as 12 tribes. And the 13th being the Levites didn't want to be counted among the tribes. These 12 tribes were so happy with themselves. They don't want prophet, king, leader, nothing at that time. So what happens? Occasionally, the locals will begin to rule over them. Locals or whoever would come and rule over them. At that time, they'll cry out to God, God, give us a leader. It's very interesting, no? People want God only for deliverance, not for direction. People want God for deliverance, not for direction. Whenever they are in bondage, they want a deliverance. Oh God, we need you. When God bless them, they have success. Don't talk now, Lord. I know how to handle my life. If you can have God to direct your life, you will never need deliverance in life. Oh, that's nice preaching. Let me say that again. Oh, that's tweet worthy. If you can have God to direct your life, you will never need God to deliver your life. But under Israel, for 40 years after the war, there was no need of another deliverance. Why they didn't have war? Because under the leadership of Deborah, the direction of the country was so excellent, no one would come to pick a fight. Let me give you three principles from Deborah's life. Are you ready? Oh, that was very encouraging. One, Deborah, her influence became strong because she gave clear directions to people around her. When you read Judges chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, she didn't simply talk to Barak saying, do that, do this, and leave it hanging halfway. She communicated clarity of direction, especially when it came to the game plan of attacking and victory. She commissioned, arranged everything in the battle on how things should go on. It's an amazing story of how they got victory. And the thing about influence is we must learn to communicate in full. Sometimes God doesn't speak. That's not because you're wrong. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you at some point in time, at least once, you've used your mobile phone GPS services to go to some place? You've used GPS, Global Positioning System, Google Maps. Oh, okay, so I can communicate this with you. On Google Maps, you're taking a 50-kilometer drive or a 100-kilometer drive. Sometimes, doesn't talk anything. Have you noticed it? Why is this not working? It is working. Because you are in the right direction, it's not talking. Sometimes God is like that. Am I helping anybody here? Sometimes God is not speaking simply because you are in the right direction. But this road is bad, Lord. It's okay. Direction is right. Oh God, it's a terrible situation. Your direction is right. That's why God, Lord, I never knew there would be so many red signals. Why are you not talking, God? It will turn green. Keep quiet. You are in the right direction. Just keep praising me. Keep moving. Abraham heard from God, leave your house, leave your father's house. I'm going to show you the land that I have called you for. He stepped out of the house. For the next 15 to 25 years, God never spoke. He didn't have a Sunday morning service to come and get recharged. Sometimes God will not talk to you so that you learn to live by faith and not by sight. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. Oh, so God is not talking to me. That means I'm in the right direction. See, that is when you obey God. Some fellows, God don't talk. Because last time he told something, you never obeyed. So God says, now I don't want to talk to you. So which category you are is a different question. Don't assume God's silence is always because you're in the right direction. There is a possibility that sometimes God is not speaking because you're in the wrong direction. Give full direction for life. Take clarity on directions. When God starts something in the spirit, don't try to finish it in the flesh. That's what Father Abraham did. I spoke about Abraham, so I'll complete this also. When I read the Bible, I like to read it for what it really says. I don't like mythology. Mythology is when someone dies, you say everything good about them. And when they are alive, you say everything to kill them. You know, I mean, this is human nature. I've seen this too much in politics. When they are alive, oh my God, they'll talk all bad. Once they are dead, they make him a saint. Probably if you would have said that, they wouldn't have died when they were alive. And in religion, that goes to a very high level. Once someone dies, we say, oh, Abraham. Oh, Father Abraham. He's a great man. He was not great. There was great things about him. There were also miserable things. I'll tell you, some of you are more holy than Abraham. I'll prove you right now. How many of you have got a maid in your house? You got a maid coming, cooking, cleaning. You understood where it is going, no? Thank God, your maid is not pregnant because of you, right? In Abraham's house, that also happened. Now, I'm not giving anybody a revelation. In Abraham's house, that also happened. And how did that extramarital affair happen? Because of wife Sarah. I really tell you, if she lived today, I would have wanted a psychometric analysis of her neurofunctions. How can a wife suggest this? But anyway. What happened is Abraham heard from God and he decided to use his Dhamaka plan. See, never try to finish in the flesh what God began in the spirit. Deborah took directions and communicated it from God. Second, she was sensitive to the people around her, both about the present and the past and the future. She was very responsive to those that she was investing in. She understood and she was sensitive to their needs and to their strengths and weaknesses. We live in a very insensitive world. And it's so important that we develop Christ-like culture. When God gives you success, don't ignore those who are slower than you, especially in your area of influence. When God allows you to go through pain, don't hesitate to rejoice in those who have success, especially in the people that God has put around your life. Be sensitive. Deborah developed a character which was able to make the anointing fruitful. Anointing is a gift of God. Talent is a gift of God. You pray and you will get it. But character is how you respond to God by building your disciplines, your attitudes, your habits, your thought processes, how you feel about things. That's our responsibility. Third, she developed the culture of honor. Let's say that together. She developed the... I think this is so important. You'll read that in Genesis chapter 4 verse 14. She demonstrated respect for those who were above her, with her, and beneath her. Respect always goes back and forth. It's so important that we express respect for our spouse in our marriages, for our children. Express respect for your parents. Express appreciation, honor for the people around that God has put in your life. Express respect and honor for opportunities God gives you. Whether you use it or not, don't disrespect it. Show respect for the time God gives you and how you use it, invest it. Show respect for your church. God has given you a church. Value your church. Honor your church. The way you talk about it. The way you handle its facilities. The culture of respect, I think, is so important. God always blesses you through your area of honor. When God spoke to Samuel, the little boy, you remember that story? I'm sure most of you remember. At least those of you who have some Bible background, you'll remember. He was sleeping in the temple and God spoke to him and said, Samuel. The guy got up and where did he run? He ran to Eli the high priest. Why? Because he respected the high priest. God always speaks to you in the language of what you honor. And that's why in the life of Gideon, in chapter 6 of Judges, the Bible says, and Gideon cried out to God saying, God, why are we going through this? And God said, you feared the gods of the Amorites. Therefore, they have power over you. Whoever you value and respect, in God's hierarchy of leadership, they have dominion. Learn to honor people God puts around your life. They become a blessing in your life. This is so important. This is so valuable. You know, earlier in those days when I used to preach 1 hour, 1 hour, 20 minutes on a Sunday, I would often take time to say things like, don't talk bad about your pastor. Don't talk bad about your church. I won't even know about it. It won't even bother me or affect me. But what will happen is your own blessing goes down the drain. And if there are children growing up in your family, they soon understand that you're a hypocrite. Because you smile in front of the pastor and you talk bad later, it simply means your God is not worth serving. And most of such children don't have respect for the God of their parents and eventually don't have much respect for their own parents. These are These are what I call landmines in your journey of life. Remove those landmines because your children will stamp on it. Don't allow culture of disrespect. Always have honor and respect. Between me and my wife, we have a definite decision. We never talk bad about anybody in church. Even if we know something wrong about them, we always talk in terms of, okay, let's pray for them. We have a decision. We will not disrespect people in our life. Who doesn't have weaknesses? Everybody got weaknesses. And that will never be a point for us to look down on anybody. If God sends anybody in our life, we will honor them, value them. If they are wrong, that's between them and God. For us, we will respect them. And I tell you, our life is blessed. Learn to honor. That auntie in my family, pastor, she's a witch in real life. I don't know. Some of you have synonyms for that. Now, point is this. You can keep her away from you. No problem. But don't be disrespectful. Whenever you talk about family, two things go together. Honor and love. Honor people, love people. For some people, it's safer to honor them and love them from a distance. Keep your safe distance. No problem. But don't be disrespectful. When it comes to the world, honor and need not love. Because some fellows, you can't love them. Fair enough. But don't show disrespect. I hate that boss. Fair enough. But show respect. That colleague, I don't like. You don't have to show love, but show honor. Showing love is different from showing honor. Be respectful because it is a culture. And you see, Deborah developed that. There was a family in our church that got upset with me once. Actually, they come from another church. They came to Bangalore. They started attending our church. And at one point, they said, Pastor, we are not happy with you. And actually followed. This happened many years ago. I called them up saying, I didn't see you. What happened? They said, no, we don't want to come back to that church. We don't want to come back to you, Pastor. We are very upset with you. And I asked, what happened? They said, no, Pastor, we come from such and such a ministry in such and such a city. We came to Bangalore. We just loved your church and all that. But our cousin's wedding, we asked you. You never prophesied anything. Which house to take? You didn't guide us. What is this? We want you to tell us. Then I called them. I said, come. I spent time with them. Explain to them. My ministry is not about developing Pentecostal babies that even after 40 years, they want spoon feeding. That's not my ministry. I have a culture of respect in my life where God has not called me that people will depend on me, but I have to train people that they can hear from God and grow up in their life. That's my calling. I'm so happy to tell you, they were so happy. They understood the concept and they are back in church and they are a blessing. Now, I know you are sitting there and thinking he's talking about me. There are many like you, so it applies to everybody. Don't worry. Culture of respect. Do things out of respect because you value, because you believe in their potential. Hallelujah. She developed a culture of honor. Deborah did not say, now that I won the war and I guided the war, vote me as the commander-in-chief. Nothing. She went back as the wife of. You're getting the message. Your position doesn't have to change. Your function makes you the leader. Pastor, God has anointed me so much, but I just don't understand why everybody doesn't cooperate with me. Even Deborah had that. Deborah also had that problem. Read Judges chapter 5 and verse number 16. Why did you stay among the sheep pens to hear the whistling for the flocks? In the district of Reuben, there was much searching of the heart. Gilead stayed behind the Jordan and Dan. Why did he linger by the ships? And Asher remained on the coast and stayed in his coves. I'll explain these two verses. Chapter 5 is the song of Deborah. When Deborah came back from the victory, she wrote one song. In between, she inserted two verses where she accommodated all the wrong people. She never sang a separate song for them. She was not like one of today's leaders saying, why all are scolding me? Why all are complaining about me? No, a true leader that Deborah was. She had enemies. In two scriptures, she included them and locked the bag. She didn't waste her time describing them. All she said is this: Reuben, Gilead, Dan and Asher, four tribes, we fought for you fellows. When God gave the victory, why couldn't you come out of your comfort zone? Believe me, when God uses you and you rise in leadership, you have to learn to accommodate these four tribes. They will be there in every person's life. Reuben, the Bible says, and he was searching in his heart. You know, they are the undecided people. They'll be thinking, we are with you, Pastor, in spirit. Body is in Brigade Road shopping. You will have this in every human life. Whatever you do, you're building a house, there'll be some family that is a Reuben character. Much searching. Deborah said, much searching. They had committee meetings. They had general bodies. Sister Deborah is going to war. She's fighting for us. We have to join. They consulted. They called consultants. They discussed. They looked at multiple things. They wrote minutes of the meeting, wasting hours of the day. By the time victory is over, song is written, they are still divisions of the heart. Because inside there are a lot of divisions. Then the second tribe is called Gilead. They were like, we are staying beyond Jordan. This is happening far away. How far we can come to church, Pastor? No, can we come so far? We would have helped you, sister, but because your ideology is so far from our ideology. Gilead will be there as a friendly person who does nothing in life. Dan lingered by the ships. He was so busy with his urgent and comfortable situation because there were merchants running a kind of mercantile marine service for Israel. They were like, Deborah, we are on the ships. The wind is not blowing. Take your oar, row the boat. We are on the ships. My situation is like this. Pastor, I went through that. My uncle didn't bother. His other name is Dan. The fourth fellow is Asher. Asher, in that song, it says, he remained on the coast and stayed in the cove. What is that? He remained on the coast. He was on the Shisho. Asher is like, Sister Deborah, our tribe, we want to come. We have been working so hard on so many things. We believe God raised you. Mm-hmm. Let me just finish this lemonade with this umbrella in it. I'm on the seashore just renovating, rejuvenating, detoxing. My season will come. And that time, sister, I will be there. Right now, you go. You go. These are called Asher anointing. This will be everywhere. Whenever God uses you, don't look at these four people and get discouraged. These personality types will be there everywhere. You keep moving in the call of God. God has a plan for your life. We are going to pray together. Two ways to identify the positive influence. Number one, is your commitment a reflection of your heart? What is your commitment? Is a reflection of your heart. If your commitment is not clear, it's simply because your heart is not clear. And let your greatest commitment be to God Almighty. Hallelujah. Deborah was committed to her husband, Lapidoth, was committed to her kitchen and children, but she enlarged the commitment towards all of God's great purposes. You can do more without violating your basics. It is possible. Allow God to enlarge your heart. And say, God, I'll be committed for greater things. Hallelujah. My first commitment is to you, Jesus. You've planted me in a church, I'll be committed. Second, we all will change in life. Everyone will change in life. If you have doubts, take your 10-year-old picture and take a look. Everyone changes in life. There is nobody who doesn't change. You cannot stop the change. You can direct the change. You can change for good. You can change towards better. You can change for improvement. And if we don't control the change, the law of nature is not evolution, it is entropy. Nothing gets better, everything gets corrupt. That's the law of nature. Evolution happens only when you put efforts. Entropy happens with time. That's the law of physics. If we are not careful, if you just allow change, it will usually be for bad. But if you allow God to change us by His word, our change will become more positive and powerful. Every human is selfish by nature. This is human character. I'll give you a simple proof. You take a group photo. Oh, Pastor, I have no selfishness. Super. I'll ask you one question. You take a group photo in your office, in your college, in your school, and then they pass out those 10 photos, 10 group photos, and say, this is our company annual report we're going to publish. Which photo to put? When they give you, which photo do you look for? Who do you look for in the photo? How do I look? Out of 10 photos, this one is nice, sir. Madam, but boss is not there. Now. So what? I look good in that. I can tell you another 5 evidences that we are all people who care for ourselves. And therefore, we should be careful of where we make our commitments. We should be careful of what changes us. Let's close our eyes and say, Father, may you be our greatest commitment. Deborah, from the most unfortunate, how beautifully you made her a leader, that she ruled from her kitchen, from under a tree. But Israel had success because you used her. May my life become a victory, not only for me, but even for those under my influence. May I build people, hallelujah, in my college, in my neighborhood. Help me, O Father, anoint me, but help me build my character, my confidence, my courage. Help me, Father God, that when your grace increases on my life, there will be a character and a discipline of thinking. Oh, Father God, habits of feelings which are worthy of your grace. I pray to you, Lord, the good health, the good success that you give me, it'll be for your glory. I thank you that you are raising me as another Deborah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that my insignificance is no issue for your great purpose in my life. I thank you, Lord. You are a good God. You are a merciful God. Hallelujah. I worship you today, Master. I love you today, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, this beautiful day, we want to thank you for speaking to us. May the commitments of our heart be in the direction of your plan for us. May the changes that are happening in us be in the direction of your call for our life. We thank you for speaking to us. Oh God of Deborah, you are our God. And we thank you that you are able to lead us in greater victories than that we've ever experienced. Our future is going to be more victorious. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people said, Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website or visit us. The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.